Dear Lord, I pray that may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Dear God, draw us all nearer to you, creating us a hunger and a thirst to seek you more fervently, to seek you in our prayer life and seek you as we read the scriptures, to seek you in our serving you each and every day. Make all of us, dear God, God seekers. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Seeking God in 2020. Seeking God in 2020. As we turn the calendar from December 31st, 2019 to January 2020, and even as we turn the calendar into a new decade, I'm sure some of you have maybe made some New Year's resolutions, some things you want to maybe do differently this year or this decade than you did last year or last decade. The brothers, we might be saying, those of us who are married might be saying, I want to be a better husband, a better father. For our sisters, maybe saying, I want to be a better wife, a better mother. And for our children, our young people, here's a good one. I want to be more obedient to my parents this year. At least the parents need to say amen right there, real hearted right there. Young people might say, I want to do better in school this year. I'm just going to be better in my relationships socially at school, hang with the right crowd and all those good things. Or maybe if somebody like maybe Brother Aaron, who plays football at Macaulay, he might have some new weightlifting goals for this year, trying to get stronger or be even better in football. All of us have little goals, little things we might want to do better this year. Maybe you want to be better on your job, you know, a more diligent worker, work as unto the Lord rather than for man. As a church, love fellowship. We should seek to love God more, to love his word more, and to love people more. We should seek to do that here at Love Fellowship. We should seek to be more intentional about making disciples. That's what Jesus has called us to do as a church and as Christians individually. There are many things. There are a long list of things that you and I could and should try to do better this year. And one thing I'm really camping on this year, as I thought about this the last few weeks, I just want to have a closer walk with God. I just want to have a closer walk with Jesus. I want to be closer to the Lord this year than I was last year. I want to be more filled and controlled by his Holy Spirit this year than I was last year. So it is with David, the psalmist here in this psalm, Psalms 34. David, who was on the run from King Saul, who was a crazy king, and David, as he was on the run, ran into this other king by the name of Abimelech. And so David was kind of literally caught between a rock and a hard place. And so David, is probably in your Bible, the inscription, David basically faked like he was mad, like he was a crazy man, like he was a madman. And so because of David acting like that, the king pretty much just let David go. He just let David go. And so David, after doing that, David began to reflect and he said, God is on my side. Even though I'm on the run from King Saul, even though this other king wanted to take me out, David said, God is still on my side. And so David starts out in verse 1, he starts out by saying, I will bless the Lord at all times. And he said, God's praise shall continually be in my mouth. So saints, that's what I want to encourage you all with on this first Sunday in 2020. You and I ought to bless the Lord at all times. His praise ought to continually be in our mouth. We should bless the Lord even when he's quote unquote, we don't think he's blessing us. We should still bless his name. We should bless him even in the midst of a trial and even in the midst of tough times. We can bless him and thank him that things are not as bad as they could be. We should bless him because even though he might not take the thorn out of the flesh, he can still give us sufficient grace in the midst of a trial. Matter of fact, God says my grace is sufficient. So you and I ought to praise him even in the midst of a storm. Praise him for sufficient grace. Praise him for amazing grace. So you and I ought to bless the Lord. How often? At all times. His praise shall continually be in our mouths. Oh, that's a good recommendation for all of us. His praise should always be in our mouth. David said, I'm going to praise him for what he's done in 2019. Praise him in advance for what he's going to do in 2020. Praise him on credit, so to speak. Praise him in advance for what he's going to do. The psalmist said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually, that's an ongoing thing, continually be in my mouth. And then he goes to verse 2 and he says, my soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. David said, I'm going to boast in the Lord. I'm going to brag on my God. Listen, thanks. It's okay to brag. I say it's okay to brag as long as you bragging on God, as long as you bragging on your Jesus. It's okay to brag on God. Say, God, my God woke me up this morning. I'm not confused. It wasn't the alarm clock. It wasn't my phone. It was God who touched me and woke me up this morning. So I'm going to brag on the one who woke me up this morning. It was God who gave me a little something to eat this morning. It might have been a bowl of cereal, whatever it was. But God gave you something. It might have been a piece of biscuit. Or it might have been pancakes and grits and all that stuff. Eggs. You might have had the full thing. Whatever it was, God gave it to you. God gave it to you. So you can brag on God that he is Jehovah Jireh, our provider. You can brag on God that he is Jehovah Rapha, our healer. We can brag on God that he is a bad God. He's an awesome God, a big God. He's a God who has all power. He's a God who is all knowing. He's a God who's everywhere all at the same time. He's a God of grace and mercy. So we can brag on our God. He is a God who, Jeremiah reminded me, this morning I woke up, I had some new mercies this morning. So he's a God who gives out new mercies. We can brag on our God. It's okay to brag on God. David said, I boast in the Lord. I brag about the one who watches over me. I brag about the one who allowed me to take that giant called Goliath down. I brag on the one who allowed me to take out a lion and a bear. I'm going to brag on him. I'm going to brag on him. And then David said, when I'm bragging on him, when I'm boasting about him, he said, look, other people hear it and be glad. You know, when you and I are talking about God, that's a blessing to somebody who hears what you're saying. When you're talking about your God and bragging on your God, that's going to bless somebody else. That's going to encourage somebody else's heart. He said, other folks hear me talking about God, and that makes them glad. And then he goes on in verse 3, talking about seeking God in 2020. He says in verse 3, because I'm going to bless the Lord. Because I'm gonna praise his name continually. Because I'm bragging on him, he tells the whole congregation, he said, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us, that's you and me, let us exalt his name together. Saints, listen, one of the great blessings, one of the tremendous blessings of coming together to church is you and I get to worship God together. When we get to praise him together. Now, I like praising him by myself. I like worshiping him by myself. But when two or three or four or five or six come together to worship and praise our God, what a blessing. Those of us who have kindred spirits. Because, you know, all week long we've been hanging out around some pagans, some crazy folks. I mean, we're going to be salt and light. We got to be out amongst all the people. We've been hanging around people who don't believe like we believe. We've been hanging around maybe some people who don't even believe there is a God. So there is good. That's why I am glad when they say unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord, where I can be around some people who believe like I believe. Where I can be around some people who know that we serve a great and a mighty and an awesome and a big God. So we can say, Let us exalt his name together. I said, let us exalt his name together. Verse 3 says, oh, magnify. That word magnify, you know, if you put something on a magnifying lens, it makes it appear larger than what it really is, right? Now, we know we can't make God any bigger than he already is a big God. But you and I ought to talk about him in such a way that it makes him appear to be bigger than what he already is. We ought to magnify the name of our Lord. I mean, magnify his name, saints. You know, it's kind of like, you all remember, when Michael Jordan, who was one of the greatest basketball players of all time, he quit playing basketball for a while. And he began to play baseball. And so I remember when he came here to Chattanooga, Tennessee, he came right over to on Third Street, Ingalls Stadium, over there on Third Street. Ingalls Stadium was still the main place they played. And if you all remember, he packed that place out. Because, you know, he's Michael Jordan, the greatest basketball player ever. Now, he was on the average in baseball. I wasn't excited to go see him play baseball. But because he was Michael Jordan, he packed the place out. Well, I'm here to tell you this morning, saints, it's somebody much greater here this morning than Michael Jordan. So somebody much greater than LeBron James or Denzel Washington or Beyonce or whoever name you want to put in there. The Lord is here this morning, and we have come to magnify his name. We've come to exalt his name. We've come to boast in who he is. So magnify the Lord with me And let us exalt his name together. So since we came this morning, we've been reading out of his word. We've been reading out of his book. Since we came this morning, we've been singing praises to him. Even this morning, I'm preaching about him. So we've come this morning to make God, to make Jesus the center of attention. He is the star here this morning. He is the star here this morning. He is the one that we're going to magnify his name. Let us exalt his name together. Saints, what a blessing it is to lift up the name of Jesus. I said, what a blessing it is to lift up the name of Jesus. So the psalmist says, he says, look, let's magnify the Lord together. Let's magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. Now Christ is the only one that deserves to be exalted. I said, Christ is the only one. God is the only one who deserves to be exalted. He is the only one. So we have come today to bless his name. We've come today to praise his name. We've come today to brag on him, to magnify his name today. He is the center of attention. I said, he is the center of attention. He should be the center of your heart this morning. I said, he should be the center of your heart this morning. So the psalmist David, even though he was kind of on the run, he was on the run, he took out a little time to praise the Lord. And then look what he did in verse 4. I'm going to be the shortest man in town this morning, I believe. Look what he did in verse 4. He said, I sought the Lord, and he heard me. And not only did he hear me, he delivered me from all my fears. Now I can just camp out right there the rest of this sermon. He said, I sought the Lord. And that's my title this morning. Seeking God in 2020. Are you seeking the Lord, saints? Are you a God seeker? Are you going to be a God seeker in 2020 looking for our Lord? And look, God is not playing hide and go seek. He says, search me, look for me while I may be found. God doesn't hide from us. Matter of fact, Revelation 3:20 says the opposite. It says Jesus, and he's talking to the church. He's talking to the church of Laodicea. Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Jesus said, I'm knocking at the door of your heart. If anyone just opened up the door, I would come into him and dine with him and he with me. We'll just hang out together and have a good time together. So our God said, when you seek him, you can find him. Let me say that one more time. Our God said, when you seek him, you can find him. He's not hiding. He's not ducking and dodging. He says, seek me while I may be found. So, saints, you got to carve out some time on your schedule to make sure you have time for God. Now, many times, especially those of us who are born again, sometimes we can get guilty of maybe doing a lot of things, a lot of good things for God, but not really spending much time with God. Let me say that again. We can get real busy doing a lot of things, a lot of good things for God, and really forget about spending time with God. I dare say, if you spend time with God, you're going to do some things for God. But start out spending time with God. Be in his presence. Be pressing in through your prayer life and through reading in the word of God. Spend time with God. There's nothing like spending time with God. I said, there's nothing like spending time with God. Oh, I have some witnesses right there. I said, there's nothing like spending time with God. There's nothing like spending time with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so David said, I sought the Lord. I sought him. I looked for him. And then if you take a note, it's just simple right there. He sought the Lord. He said, the Lord heard me. And not only that, the Lord delivered me. Oh, let me say that one more time. He sought the Lord. Now see, you can just be seeking the Lord and maybe the Lord wouldn't hear him. But he sought the Lord and the Lord heard him. And not only did the Lord hear him, but David said, the Lord delivered me. And look, he was very specific. He delivered me out of all my fears. I said, he delivered me out of all my fears. Let me say this, saints. As a child of God, if you are overly fearful, you must not be fervently seeking the Lord. Let me repeat that. Let me rewind that. If you are overly fearful, and we all get fearful sometimes of different things, you know, sometimes rightly so and justly so, but if you are overly fearful, you must not be fervently seeking our Lord. Because see, when you seek him and when he hears you, I say when you seek him and he hears you, David said, God will deliver you from all your fears. In other words, our Lord and fear can't coexist. our Lord and fear can't hang out in the same sphere. They can't hang out in the same arena. They can't hang out in the same space. If you holding on to our Lord and he's holding on to you, fear gotta go. But if fear got you, that doesn't mean you must not be holding on to our Lord. He said, I sought the Lord. The Lord heard me and the Lord delivered me out of all my, I was no longer afraid of King Saul. I was no longer afraid of Abimelech because I sought the Lord. The Lord heard me and he took away all my fears. Now, there are many different types of fears, saints. There are many different type of fears. I'll just give you about three this morning. There are more than this. But as a Christian, you and I sometimes struggle with the fear of failure. Check this out. The fear of failure, it'll keep you frozen. The fear of failure. You won't even make a move. Thinking it'll be the wrong move. And not making a move is probably the wrong move. Oh, let me say that again. The fear of failure, you'll be thinking about, I know I need to do this. I need to go by and call this person. I need to try this. I need to apply for this particular job. But I'm not going to do anything. I'm not going to make that move because that might be the wrong move. Why? You don't make that move, that end up being the wrong move, not even making that move. Is that clear this morning? It's called the fear of failure, the fear of failure. So, well, if I don't try, I won't fail. Well, you already failed. Another fear that sometimes some of us struggle with is the fear of inadequacy. The fear of inadequacy. And I got this right out of the scriptures. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 4 and 5. You can write that down and read it later. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 4 and 5. Some translations say inadequacy. Some translations say insufficiency. Some translations say incompetency. So either way, it means we are lacking. We're inadequate. We're incompetent. We're insufficient. But listen to this. Listen to what God says in 2 Corinthians 3, 4 and 5. It says, such is the confidence that we have through Christ toward God. Not that we are adequate, not that you or me are adequate in ourselves to claim anything as coming from ourselves, but our adequacy is from God. Oh, I need to read that again. Not that you and I are adequate in and of ourselves, but our adequacy is from God. You and I are adequate. You and I are competent. You and I are sufficient because God himself is our adequacy. God himself is our sufficiency. God himself is our competency. So you don't have to be fear of inadequate. I can't do it. Well, no, you can't do it by yourself. But you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. So he can take away the fear of failure. He can take away the fear of inadequacy or insufficiency. And then sometimes we just afraid of people. We have fear of people. I used to work for a boss at TVA. He was a big old guy. And Brother Chris probably remember him, big old guy, and sitting there probably too. He's just a big old burly guy. And he used to managed by intimidation. And I mean, all of the little workers, we were somewhat scared of this guy. He was just an intimidating figure. I should have found this verse back then. Jesus said, why fear a man who can only take your life or your job? Why fear a man who can only take your life or your job? Fear God who can take your life and your soul. In other words, Jesus, you don't have to be afraid of man. So David said, I was fearful. I was afraid of King Saul. I was afraid of Abimelech. I was fearful. So I sought the Lord. I cried out to the Lord. I sought the Lord. He heard my cry and delivered me out of all my fears. Now, how many of y'all know it's good to know that we have a God who can deliver us from some fears? So not only that, saints, he said in verse 5, quick recap. First, he said, I will bless the Lord. Verse 1, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Psalms 34. Verse 2, he says, my soul shall brag on the Lord. Other folks are going to hear about it and they're going to be glad. And then he says in verse 3, because of that, oh, let's magnify the Lord together. You and I, let's magnify the Lord together. Let's exalt his name together. And he said, I sought the Lord. The Lord heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Look what verse 5 says, saints. They looked to him and were radiant, like glowing, just because they looked to him. And he said, and their faces were not ashamed. One of the things about being a child of God can take away shame. you know, some things in my life I've done I'm ashamed of. But guess what? I've thrown that stuff under the blood of the Lamb. And God has a way of taking away shame. He has a way of taking away self-condemnation. So verse 5 says, I look to the Lord, and an amazing thing happens, the psalmist said, as we look to the Lord, as we seek the Lord. He said, I became radiant. I was glowing. I couldn't help but to think, Brother Jim, of Moses. You know, y'all remember, I got some Bible readers in the house, when Moses would go in and talk to God. Can you just picture that? Number one, just going in and talking to the Shekinah glory of God. And he would come out, Brother Chris, and oftentimes he would go back to the regular people and they couldn't even look at him. Oh, Moses, your face glowing too much. And they were literally, this is in the Bible, they would literally have to put a veil over Moses' face because he had been hanging out with God. Don't you want that for 2020? Hang out with God so much that when you come back out around the rest of us, folks, man, I just see the glow of God on you. I just see the shine of Christ on you. I just see all that peace and that joy in your heart. I just see the glow of God on your face. That's what the psalmist is saying. He said, we hung out with the Lord. We looked to the Lord and our faces would be radiant. You can't hang out with Jesus and come back being the same. I said, you can't hang out with our Lord and come back being the same. You spend some time with the Lord. He's going to do some stuff in your life and in my life. He changes our lives. I said, he changes our lives. He prunes us. He sees stuff in your life and my life that does not need to be there, and he can take it out. I said, he can take it out. But you got to spend some time with him. You got to be at like Mary. You got to be at his feet. You got to spend some time with him to allow him to do his divine surgery, to take out some unforgiveness and put some forgiveness, to take out fear and put in confidence, to take out hatred and put in love, take out stress and all that and put in some peace. You got to spend some time with him. I said, you got to spend some time with it. You don't just get it by osmosis. You don't just get it, oh, Lord, just throw that on me. No, you got to spend some time with them. See, look, now we're not saved by works. Salvation is free. Here's a good theology lesson, good soteriology lesson, how we get saved. We're saved by God's grace, right? We all know that, right? But in this Christian walk, it takes some work. I said, it takes some work. You're not going to grow as a Christian unless you put some skin in the game. You got to spend some time. You got to pray. You got to read your Bible. You got to come to church. You got to get into some Bible studies. It takes some work to grow. I said it takes work to grow as a Christian. So Simon said, I look to the Lord. We look to the Lord and we are radiant. Pressed into his presence, you will be radiant. And then look what verse 6 says. Verse 6 says, this poor man, and the word poor there doesn't necessarily mean materially, even though David wasn't king yet, so he was, didn't have much money and stuff at that time, but it meant more like he was just in a bad shape. He's referring to himself, this poor man. You know how we say stuff like, poor fella. Somebody help him out. He's a poor guy. It's more like that type of poor. So David said, this poor man, referring to himself, it's very similar to verse 4. Here's a great formula for all of us this morning, saints. This poor man who needed some help, all of us need help. Look at your neighbor and say, I need some help. In 2020, I need some help. This poor man, somebody say a lot. This poor man cried out and the Lord heard him. He cried out, Sister Candace, and the Lord heard him. And not only did the Lord hear him, you might want to jot this down. I cried out, he cried out, and the Lord heard me. And then he saved me out of some of my troubles. Is that what the Bible says? All of our troubles. So see, saints, here it is, simple. It's not too much of a leap. Many of us are in a lot of trouble because we're not really crying out to our God. Let me say that again. Many of us are in a lot of trouble because we're not crying out to our God. I just read it. The psalmist said, here's the formula. I cried out unto the Lord. I cried out unto the Lord. He heard me and delivered me out of all my troubles. Oh, I love that. I love that. I love that. He cried out and delivered me out of all my troubles. Now, God is a mighty deliverer. I said, our God is a mighty deliverer. He's a mighty deliverer. He can deliver us out of some stuff. He said, he saved me out of all my troubles. Mother Moore saved me out of all my troubles. And I couldn't help but to reflect back. And I ought to get about 70 or 80 amens right here. He saved me he saved me from a burning hell. He gave me salvation. So I got that marked down. He saved me from a burning hell. But watch this. As I contemplated back, that was back in 1992. I was about 30 years old. Before my salvation date, and before yours too, by the way, he saved me from a whole lot of other stuff. He saved me out of some whole lot of troubles, whole lot of stuff I was getting myself into. God himself saved me out of that stuff, even before I became a child of God, in time anyway. But watch this. Even since 1992, as a Christian, as a born again believer, as a follower of Christ, I've still gotten in some trouble. So have you too. I've still missed the mark. I've still sinned. I've still messed up. I don't say it proudly or arrogantly. I've still messed up. And I'm still finding out that God still is giving me out of some trouble. He's still saving me out of some troubles. He can save us out of some trouble. I mean, sometimes we can get into fixes that we don't know how we end up in this fix. And we thought we might have been doing the right thing, or we might have just knew we were doing the wrong thing. But somehow we end up in a fix, and somehow God makes that thing work out. Now sometimes there's some consequences, there's some sowing and reaping, but still, he gets us out of those troubles. He gets us out of those troubles. The psalmist said, very similar to verse 4. In verse 4, he says, and I'm almost in my seat. In verse 4, he says, I sought the Lord. And the Lord heard me and delivered me from all my fears. And then in verse 6, he turns right back around and he says, I cried out. That's a type of desperate prayer. He sent up one of those missiles, Sister Cullen. He sent it up real fast. He cried out, and the Lord heard him, but the Lord didn't stop there. See, you got all these false gods. Number one, they don't even hear you, but all these false gods, they can't do anything. But our God not only hears, but the psalmist said he saved me, not just out of, I would have been cool with saying he saved me out of some of my troubles. But he said, no, he saves me out of all my troubles, out of all my troubles. And in that verse, that word trouble means to be restricted, to be tied up, to be limited. And let's be honest, some stuff had us tied up. Some stuff had us limited. But we cried out to the Lord. I cried out to the Lord. And guess what? He untied me. He took the limits off me. I'm free in Christ. Now, stuff that had me tied up doesn't have me tied up anymore. Oh, y'all with me this morning? Some stuff that used to have me tied up, bound, and now God has untied that stuff. I'm no longer tied up. This Psalm 34, the whole thing is written in a very poetic fashion. And it's kind of like a cause and effect. So even in the first 6 verses, there's some things that I'm just going to be personal first. There's some things that I need to do, that you need to do. And we do those things in verses 1 through 6. And then in verses 1 through 6, we see some things that God does. So for instance, in Psalms 1, in verses 1 through 6, I'm going to bless the Lord at all times. I'm not just going to bless him every now and then. I'm going to work on 2020 trying to bless the Lord at all times. Another thing I'm going to try to do in 2020, I'm going to praise the Lord at all times. It's right there in your Bible. Also in 2020, I'm going to brag on the Lord. I'm going to boast in the Lord. I'm going to talk about he's the one who woke me up this morning. He's the one who watches over me. Also in 2020, I'm going to magnify the Lord. I'm going to speak highly. I'm going to put the spotlight on him in 2020. Also in 2020, I'm going to be careful to make sure I exalt the Lord. I lift him up with my lips and with my lifestyle. Also in 2020, I'm going to seek the Lord. I'm going to look for the Lord. And when I wake up in the morning, I'm going to wake up looking for him and talking to him. I'm going to seek the Lord. I'm going to look to the Lord. I'm going to cry out to the Lord. And not just me, saints, you ought to say in this year, 2020, you ought to be praising the Lord. You ought to be boasting in the Lord. You ought to be bragging on the Lord. You ought to be magnifying the Lord. You ought to be exalting the Lord. You ought to be seeking the Lord on a regular basis. You ought to be looking to the Lord that your faces may be radiant, that you might be crying out to the Lord. And then as we do that, saints, as we look to God, as we look to Jesus, as we look to the Holy Spirit, listen to what our Lord does in verses 1 through 6. He does much more than this, but just in verses 1 through 6. He answers me. Oh, y'all not hearing me. He answers me. He answers us. Not only that, he delivers me out of all my fears. Not only that, he saves me out of all my troubles. Not only that, he makes my face shine. He gives me a joy and peace. Not only that, he can take away my shame. So saints, as you and I praise the Lord, as you and I exalt the Lord, as you and I magnify the name of the Lord, as you and I seek the Lord, as you and I look to the Lord, watch this. The Lord will hear us. The Lord will answer us. The Lord will deliver us. The Lord will save us. The Lord will make our face shine amongst wherever we are. And the Lord will take away our shame. Oh, you can do a better job of clapping than that. So our job, here it is, our job is just praise him. Our job is to just worship him. Our job is just serve him. Our job is just seek and look for him. Our job is just to cry out to him. Our job is to magnify him. And his job, God said, you do those things, I'm going to hear you. I'm going to answer you. I'm going to deliver you. I'm going to save you. I'm going to make your face shine. So if you don't want to be saved, if you don't want to be delivered, if you don't want to be have a face that's shining, don't seek the Lord this year. Don't magnify the Lord this year. Don't praise the Lord this year. Don't worship the Lord this year. But if you want to be delivered out of all your troubles, if you want to have all your fears taken away, if you want to have a life that's full of joy and peace, seek the Lord. Look to the Lord. Exalt the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. I cried out unto the Lord. He heard my cry and delivered me out of all my troubles, delivered me out of all my fears. I cried out, and every time I cry out, he hears my prayers. He gives me grace to make it through whatever I'm going through. Sometimes he takes it away, but sometimes he doesn't take it away. But he gives me the grace and the mercy to see it through. So I'm going to keep on praising him. I'm going to keep on looking to him. I'm going to keep on seeking him. I'm going to keep on exalting him. I'm going to keep on magnifying him. I'm going to keep on bragging about him, because he keeps on hearing me. He keeps on answering me. He keeps on delivering me. He keeps on setting me free. So I'm going to keep on worshiping him. I'm going to keep on exalting him. I'm going to keep on lifting up his name, because he keeps on hearing me. He keeps on answering me. He keeps on setting me free. I can just keep on going. It's an endless loop, a good loop. I cry out, he hears and delivers. I shout, he hears and sets free. I cry out, he hears and delivers. He's a God who hears. He's a God who sets free. He's a God who delivers. Oh, somebody ought to give him some praise this morning. In 2020, keep on seeking him. Keep on crying out. Keep on exalting him. Keep on bragging on him. Keep on magnifying him. Because what? He keeps on hearing. He keeps on answering. He keeps on setting free. He keeps on taking away your fears. He keeps on taking you out of troubles. He can do that. He can do that. He majors in doing that. Can I have a witness? He's taking us out of some stuff we should have gone down. It should have been over. They threw in the towel. But God came in and delivered and set free and brought up and put you on a solid foundation. So who wouldn't want to exalt him? Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. He is worthy to be praised. He is worthy to be praised. He is worthy. Let's brag on him. Let's boast in him. He is worthy to be praised. He's a mighty deliverer, taking away fears, saving souls, rescuing, putting marriages back together, straightening up kids, straightening up neighborhoods. He can do those things. I said, he can do those things. He can do those things. I cried out unto the Lord. He heard my cry and delivered me, saved me out of all my troubles, delivered me from all my fears. Stuff that used to have me stressed out and all anxious about. I've learned to cry out to him. I've learned to cry out to him. And y'all heard this. It's kind of a cliche. I mean, you know, you're tossing and turning some stuff on your mind. You don't know how you're going to figure this out, how you're going to pay this and do that. And then you say, wait a minute. My God never sleeps nor slumbers. No need for both of us stand up. Lord, since you got it, since you are already up, I'm going to go on and go to sleep. And I'm going to wake up in the morning. You're going to show me how to work through this thing. That's our job. Praise him, boast in him, magnify his name, exalt him. Brothers and sisters, agrees, and he answers, he delivers, he sets free, he saves. That's his department. That's his department. Father, we thank you that we can attest. We'll start with salvation. We cried out and said, yes, I am a sinner in need of a Savior. And dear God, you heard and answered our sinful prayer, our sinful cry, and you saved us, brought us into a right relationship with you. And then, Lord, there are many other times we've cried out to you. Sometimes we do it early. Sometimes we wait until we're about to go down. But we cry out to you, just like Peter when he was walking on the water that day. He cried out, and you reached down and pulled him up. So, dear Lord, we thank you for being the one who reaches down and pulls us up. Thank you for being the one who hears and answers our prayers, rescues us from all of our troubles, and takes away our fears. So thank you, dear Lord, for being a mighty God. Help us in 2020, dear God, to be more diligent, more fervent on our part of seeking you, seeking a closer walk with you. Thank you for being a faithful God. Thank you for this day. Thank you for your goodness, your grace, your mercy. I pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.